天我可以提下路，这个叫路道房。
嗯。
啊，可以嘞，我不是有一道钱来路标了，天哪，那都天哪，都难买啊，都没有人丢。
哎呀。
多花了一点钱来路提下要一点股票呢。
哦，
我。那现在提钱少呢，那嘛就没把这路。
哦。
嗯，那都好熬了嘛，标查的。哦，现在那路了怎么标的 ？Yes, sorry.
When meditating, whether it's walking or swimming or sitting or whatever, where the purpose is of meditating, how can I try and understand the connection between the mind and the body better?
If you know the mind, it's connected to the body, and eventually you learn stuff.
Yeah.
Be patient.
Yes, you always have to. There
can be no shortcut in meditation.
Yeah. Meditation, we have to try. Come to do it.
That was a Chinese monk who asked Yano, "What's the best posture for?" What's the best posture for developing mindfulness? And Seattle, I don't know if he took him seriously. Seattle told him to do the shoulder stands. He's just joking.
Go cha, di ga mong lu, tu piao ni la, tu tu piao go cha, gao lu tu tham ni. An nao chien la, ni si di lu la.
He wants to really tell people that the posture is not relevant to your mindfulness, but. Because he asked what's the best posture, he couldn't help but throw it in. Yes.
I have a longish question, and I kind of know the answer intellectually, but would appreciate Sarvul's insight. I haven't asked this before, so or ever revealed to him. I had an experience today, which wasn't the first time I've had the experience. Where I became aware of the separation between my awareness and my awareness.
Yeah. Your awareness and...
Of my...
Whatever you were aware of, yes.
Well, a big rift,
yes.
This separation.
Yes.
So my mind and my awareness and a separation.
Mm.
And it immediately... brought what could be best described as jubilation and fear, all in one, but quite intense, sort of, you know, tearfully intense,
yes.
Which then, of course, drew my attention to, and then dissolved the whole thing because I became sort of preoccupied.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long question.
Yes, go ahead.
It's not the first time it's happened, and the fear part of it, actually, strange enough, this happened to me when I was 8 years old. I was in the back seat of a car driving along and imagining, just exploring the universe, and wondered what it would be like if humans, the planet Earth, didn't exist. So I deconstructed things. I brought myself above the clouds, out looking at the Earth, and then I took the Earth away. And I remember the corner on the road and everything. It was a very intense experience.
Yeah.
It was intense nothingness,
yeah.
But really nothingness. And it, at that age, it just sort of scared me, and, you know, I didn't know anything about it, and that was the end of it. And then I've had it again before, in a retreat before, but I'm not a big retreat goer.
Yeah.
But the second time it happened, and this time it happened, it triggered the same problems,
yeah.
in essence, problems, which are this. I'm quite attached to joy, to fear, to anxiety, to pain, to all of these things. I kind of, they're what motivate me in life.
Mm.
They're my drive.
Yeah.
And I use them, and I use them rightly. I feel I use them rightly anyway. And this last time this happened, it was the same sort of thing. On the one hand, I'm interested to explore this much deeper.
Yes.
And I realise that it requires an enormous amount more effort. But at the same time, I use these things that these fear and all that in life anyway.
Yeah.
And I like them. They're the paint I use to paint the canvas of life.
Yeah.
And so there's two problems. There's this, is that on the one hand, if I let go, if I go further and I relinquish it, either I feel that I will lose drive and motivation in life, or that I actually won't care anymore. Mm. Now, I know that the answer is that with greater wisdom I will see the light, but I don't see it now.
Same answer as mine, right? Patient.
So your question is, because the fear comes up in this particular experience, you worry that if you look at this fear...
My fear is that by really delivering myself of truly delivering myself from the separation of joy, fear, anger, so on and so forth, that I'm not sure how the self will motivate itself.
Yeah, okay.
To what? Do you want to cook your parents? That means you may go on. Do you want to die and sit down at home? ตัวว่าวันละตาเลยจอกเลยจอกเลยดีหาก็ดีตะคอกเลยไม่กล้าตูเงินๆร้องอ่ะแล้วผิดปูเลยนอกสักครั้งทุกคนแล้วผิดปูเลยตัวสักครั้งตารอตัวอายไม่ผิดแค่กูป่ะเนี่ยแม่ตูเงินๆร้องอ่ะชินเนี่ยตาก้าเร่มาถ่ายเนี่ยล่ะตูมีกว่าเรียนมาอูเนี่ยล่ะไอ้นายอ่ะตัวตัวสิ้นซาเนี่ยดีกว่าไม่ใช่ไม่รู้เนี่ยมะแลเออเวเวเวเวตูจิล่ะ ตัวอ่ะปฐมก้าวเงินบ่อที่ตูแตกปุ๊บแล้วเอาไปจีเนี่ยปุ๊บแล้วโหเอาสัจจะเอาล่ะเปลี่ยนถั่วปุ๊บแล้วกบายนี่ก็จีเนี่ยปุ๊บแล้วกบายไม่ใช่หรอกสวยบโลเนี่ยแล้วหนูไม่เนี่ยเฉยมาตูตีช้ําป๊อกนี่แหละว่าสุเสร็จแค่มาไอ้เราเปลี่ยนๆทางทางซะอะไรโหก็ไอ้ตู่ไอ้หน้ากล้วยมากล้วยแม่เฉยมาเด้งๆๆไอ้เฉยมาบ้ามาไม่ใช่สุดอ่ะไอ้ลูกขันซ้าหมู่ม่วนน่ะ จောက်ว่าเลยเนี่ยเงี้ยลิสรบ่มาติดน้ําเลยจောက်ดาไม่ใช่ตัวมาเราไม่เปียวเสร็จตัวไปแล้วพี่ว่าไอ้สักคํามาจ้ะเนาะสักครั้งตะคุมมาไอ้โหลเป็นดีโหลงานเนี่ยตีดาเนี่ยกั่วนี่เลยสรุปกั้วนี่เลยสรุปตัวไอ้ไตมันจောက်ดาเนี่ยเสื้อหุ่นซ่าเนี่ยต้วยนี่เลยไอ้ตัวไอ้อึดจုံอาจารย์เนาะได้อย่างนี้ล่ะหมดต้องเปียวเลยดีจောက်แต่สิทธิ์ดี วันตาและสิทธิ์ดีเอ่อโซยเองสิทธิ์ดีไอ้อะไรอยู่เนี่ยตัวบัวมาตัวต้องฉะเลยดิบตัวดีสิทธิ์ดีโอฉะเลยบาสรดีสิทธิ์ดีโออต้องฉะปรอกุกุกุอาชิอ่ะบัวเรามากุกุกุต้นเตียงโลโกที่หาได้ต้องฉะปรอกัวเอ่อเสร็จตัวราบ่บัวล่ะเจ้าโหเอ่อชอบดาบ่เอ้อตูตู้ใส่แท้มาดิ ดีไซน์เดียวตัวชุโลดีไซน์เดียวดาจอไนเนี่ยส่วนบ้าจังเลยตุ๊ตุ๊ติเลยโหโหทฤษฎีอ่ะเปล่ามั้ยဆိုရင်တော့အဲ့ဒီအချိန်ရောက်ရင်ဒီတဲ့ပိုကောင်းတယ်ပဲဖြစ်ဖြစ်သူဟာသူကောင်းရမှာပဲဖြစ်ဖြစ်သီအိုရီအဲ့ဒါအရတော့ဒီလိုပြောမှာပဲဒါပေမဲ့သူကအခုချိန်တော့နားမလဲ
ตุ๊ตุ๊ซ่ามาแล้วตุ๊เปล่าเลยตุ๊ไม่กลัวเลยเพราะตุ๊แลผิดไปได้ไม่อุ๊ซิเสียนะเนี่ยถอดป่ะเออสัตว์นี่ลีลาบ่ดาไม่ใช่ดิลีลาบ่ตัวอย่างนี้มาแล้วตัวกูก็มันจုံนี่เลยกูลีลาเนี่ยน่ะว่าดาลุไม่ได้ตัวพี่
We can't imagine what it might be like without
ท่านไอ้ตัวบ่
the attachment to these minds.
Yeah.
What we can do is just walk the path. There's no need to imagine what it might be like. He says,
because you can't imagine it. You can't imagine how it could be better or worse or whatever. You just have, so long as you do the work. He says the only answer we'll get to imagining what it might be like is probably the opposite to what it actually would be like, because we can never imagine something that wisdom could be. So live with what is present, live with what we have now. It will lead you to what? This is real now.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
I've studied quite a lot with Western Buddhist teachers, and often they talk of self-compassion or metta towards self to allow space, perhaps when there are a lot of judgments around. I really like some of the teachings of relaxing the mind or relaxing the body. And this morning I had an experience where I had a terrible headache and I didn't want to get out of bed at 5 o'clock, and then there was war going on inside my head about should get up and do your meditation. And I just stayed with the body and with just feeling some, what I would say, compassion for self. But that actually let everything, loosened everything.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if Sarada would say that. Is this the same thing, metta or relaxing the body or self-compassion? Are they similar concepts but different
ways of expressing?
Yes,
mm-hmm. So Western Buddhist teacher, yeah, reku kuku metta shiyame, kuku maku, karuna shiyame, lupyo jare, tuwa uzen te ne ho, ခန္ဓာကိုယ်နဲ့စိတ်ကိုလျှော့တော့သဘောကြတယ်တဲ့ဒီနေ့မနေ့သူတို့တော့ခေါင်းကိုက်ပြီးတော့မထကြဘူးတဲ့မထကြတော့စိတ်ထဲမှာအော်သွားထိုင်တဲ့နဲ့ဒီဘက်ကဟိုအိတ်ချင်တာနဲ့ထိုင်တဲ့နဲ့ခေါင်းကိုက်ကလည်းအဲ့လိုမျိုးဖြစ်တော့သူကအိတ်ချင်မှာသူ့ကိုယ်သူဟိုမေတ္တာကရုဏာပေးလိုက်တယ်ပေါ့လျှော့လိုက်တယ်ပေါ့ဆိုတော့အဆင်ပြေသွားတယ်အဲ့တော့သူသိကျင်တယ်ဒီလိုဦးစင်တင်တဲ့ခန္
being kind to yourself.
Yeah, right.
Just relax.
You say you are easy, really? Because this mind,
Because this heart mind is very important. It has to be relaxed, at ease, and comfortable. Then it can do its best. It is this mind that we call me. Rather than say there's no I, he said maybe it's better to to understand what it is that we are calling I. What is this thing that we call? We call the mind myself, me, and we use it. We use the mind to do so many things, but for convenience, we call it me.
The process is
So we need to know this process exists. It is. If I was not there, this process would still be there. But we call this process I and use it in life. He says, so what we call self is an idea of, you know, an idea that this mind is me. But the idea is not real.
Yeah.
We think I exist, but I is an idea. But the process of mind is real. It's sort of like a distortion of view. It's called sometimes a distortion of view. It's like, seeing something in the wall here and thinking there's a nail in it from a distance.
And then when you come real close, you realize there's no nail. So there was never a nail in the first place, but from a distance, we thought there was a nail. So it's the same thing with the concept of
mind.
So we believe from our view that this exists, it's there. But it's just a construct of the mind.
Can I ask a question? Okay. We have these objects like form, sound, taste, smell, touch, and thoughts. Now, is it possible to see them as just rupa and the observing mind as nama, and that nama arises, nama rupa arises, and nama rupa falls?
ตัวตะไลตนะอายุ6บาสิทธิ์น่ะตัวดีอายุ6บาสิทธิ์เราอายุ6บาสิทธิ์ยกเป็นแล้วก็สิทธิ์ที่ได้สิทธิ์ก็นําเป็นพี่แล้วนําอ่ะผิดเปลี่ยนได้ยกก็ผิดเปลี่ยนได้อะไรอย่างงี้ตีโลยาวปรูฟโลอ่ะเราเรียนนะเลยอ่ะเนี่ยนะไม่รู้ไปตัวเกี่ยวกับ
there are the six sense objects, sight, hear, sound, touch and so on, taste, smell and thought, or mind objects. And she asked whether it's possible to know them, to realize they are rupa, to realize that the knowing mind is, you know, the mind that's observing is mind, nama, and to realize that rupa is arising and passing away, and nama is arising and passing away. That's her question.
Rupa and nama go away, na le
lo.
Yes.
He says, understanding that something is rupa, he says, we've heard the theory on it, but that's the theory. But to realize this is just rupa, that's an insight. You have to first have that insight.
Yeah.
Why do we say sound is? Why do we not say sound is mind? Why do we say sound is rupa? We don't really know, right? We don't know in our own experience. That's what he's saying. Yeah, we don't really understand.
He
says, that which cannot know itself, that we don't call.
It's not that he ever thought of this question, but somebody asked him a similar question before. When the person asked him this question, he said a partial answer occurred to him. He said simply because he is so conscious of the nature of knowing. It was immediately clear to him that whatever is being known doesn't know itself. And that's why it's the object. What is the object cannot know itself. Only the knowing can know the object. Yes. So in all these objects like sound and so on, they don't have the ability to know themselves. Sound cannot know itself. Sound cannot know it is sound. Sound is just, it just arises, yeah? And that's what he realized for himself.
Definition of
So nama rupa again. Nama rupa again, just like the eye, is a name we've given to certain realities. The Buddha explained these realities and then he told us the name to give it. Phenomena such as this is called nama, will be called nama, yeah?
because they belong to this sort, they have these sort of characteristics. Phenomena such as this have these characteristics, therefore they're called rupa. He says, but it's for us to understand that.
So to begin with, you look at it as sound is sound.
Yes, you don't have to do that. Just sound is sound. Yes.
How to identify the defilement of ignorance? And there's the right attitude with which we should be aware.
Moha upalolo identify long Delusion is clearest when you can recognize wisdom, because delusion is so different from wisdom. So when you can recognize some wisdom you have, you can also recognize the delusions that were, that would have been if not for that wisdom. For example, even in a moment of like now where we don't understand something, there is some delusion in the mind. You could call that quality delusion. There are degrees of delusion. It's not a, It feels very clear when you have an insight, any kind of insight that you may have had. It feels very clear what has become clear. And in that moment, you know what was not clear before was delusion, right?
Confused.
Yeah.
You say you have more and more.
Yeah. So doubt, confusion, they are qualities of delusion. And you're talking about right attitude?
Yeah, the yoniso manasikara.
Yes.
Is the mind to look, to observe things without the defilements, without the craving, without the aversion, without the delusion. Now, sometimes I can see, I can check, and the craving I can find.
Yes.
The aversion I can find.
Yes.
But you know, the thought pattern.
Yes.
The delusion bit.
Not always.
I get dullness or the black cloud coming or sort of sinking in a swamp, like swamp feeling.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not sure whether that's delusion or the ignorance. I want to be on guard for it.
Oh.
I want to be able to identify
Yes. Oh, yoni tamun ni karashi bo ti ra setan lo ba dala moha ma ba so lo ba tu chat lo ti lo ya lo da o ti lo ya le
moha
ja ro a lo thai mai na ro thi na mai da ro ba ro ro ti de da mae tu po pye so a ti ja ba so tu phe le di ti ra setan ma phit de moha o le
ti ya ma
ti na le je a ra chang tu
ba lo a ma ti de
so confusion doubt those are also delusions in the knowing mind So when you're lost in thought, that was that's delusion. Of course, then there's no knowing mind. Laziness, sloth, torpor, which is what you talked about just now. Dark confusion. Wrong view. Wrong view. Sometimes the mind believing the wrong thing. Sometimes believing what is right is wrong, or the wrong is right, which is a bit difficult to identify.
ตะมาดิติติสิ่งนั้นติได้ไม่สิ่งนั้นติตะนาดิติติสิ่งนั้นติได้ไม่สิ่งนั้นติตะนาดิติติสิ่งนั้นติได้ไม่สิ่งนั้นติตะนาดิติติสิ่งนั้นติได้ไม่สิ่งนั้นติตะนาดิติติสิ่งนั้นติได้ไม่สิ่งนั้นติตะนาดิติติสิ่งนั้นติได้ไม่สิ่งนั้นติตะนาดิติติสิ่งนั้นติได้ไม่สิ่งนั้นติตะนาดิติติสิ่งนั้นติได้ไม่สิ่งนั้นติตะนาดิติติสิ่งนั้นติได้ไม่สิ่งนั้นติตะนาดิติติสิ่งนั้นติได้ไม่สิ่งนั้นติตะนาดิติติสิ่งนั้นติได้ไม่สิ่งนั้นติตะนา
he said it is right to check, you know, all the time, the quality of your mind, the way you're. He says one thing to one of the things that we check for, we often do it maybe almost unconsciously, he says, to know the five faculties. And mostly, he says, we know the first four quite well. We know when we're aware, we know when we're not aware. We know when we're putting in effort, we know when we're not putting in effort. We know when the mind is stable and the mind is not stable. We know when the when the mind has faith, confidence, and when it does not. He says our greatest failing is to recognize when we have some wisdom and when we don't. It's when he asks yogis questions about the five faculties, do you have it or not? He says, most of the others, they can say, yes, I had. But when he asks, do you have wisdom, then either because the question is too broad or whatever, sometimes they're not really sure if they had or what kind of wisdom they had. One of the kinds of wisdom that we develop through the practice is knowing how to be skillful with our own practice.
Understanding.
For example, the realization that greed cannot help to progress the practice, and therefore the mind naturally gives up greed to achieve something in the practice. That's a kind of understand, that's wisdom that has developed in the mind that makes practice more skillful.
Yeah.
If there's real understanding of the futility of using greed to practice, he says, then the mind will never want to try to do anything with the practice. Yeah. Artificial.
Maybe a supplementary to that is the unawareness of the unawareness and some acceptance of some understanding that we don't always.
Some understanding then?
Of the fact that there is unawareness of unawareness. You know, there's delusion about delusion.
Yeah.
And that we must accept that.
Mm.
Would that be fair?
To have your opinion to me, or to cut me, but the doubt.
Yes, we must know that unawareness of unawareness happens. And
comprehension is called clear. But teacher did it.
Yeah. He says so. And accepting that is actually, it's kind of wisdom. It's clear in a sense. It's clear comprehension. Just knowing that this is how it will be. Yes, understanding is very different from just seeing something or observing something. When we understand something, so we need to recognize when we understand things, which is separate from observing things, and the understanding that accompanies our observing. We need to recognize that. So he wants us to recognize these wisdoms. Like he says, when we do any work, like say our work at home, he says, when we do something and we become skillful at it, we have an understanding of how to do that job well. That's understanding, that's wisdom. It's the same in meditation.
Yeah. ပထမတော့လောအညီအောင်ကြက်ပြီးအထုတ်တာ
။
နောက်ဆုံးအထုတ်တယ်နော်။တညာလုံးအထုတ်တယ်မအေးဘူးဘာဖြစ်လို့ခံစားခြင်းလို့န
ော
်။နားလည်ခြင်းလို့တော့ခံစားခြင်းလို့အထုတ်တယ်။အဲ့တော့ပြတ်သွားတဲ့ခံကြတော့ဒေါ်ရတဘိုးကိုက်လို့ဒေါ်ရနည်းနည်းလေးထွက်သွားခြင်းမအဲ့တတ်တင်းငင်းမှုကချမ်းသာတဲ့ခံစားမှုလည်းပြောက်သွားအဲ့အတင်းရမြင်ရအောင်လုပ်တယ်တုံးရတယ်အတင်းလိုက်လုပ်တယ်ဘလို့မလုပ်လို့မရတဲ့ဆုံးကရှော့
လိုက်
ရှော့လိုက်တဲ့ချိန်ကျမှတော့ပြောင်းသွားတယ
်
အဲ့တော့ကတော့ပေါ့ဟောလောဘနဲ့အာထုမရဘူ
း
ဒီအဲ့နားလေတာကတော့တောင်းချောက်ဖြစ်သွားတာ
တ
ရားထုတ်လိုက်တော့အမြင်သတိပေးတယ်ဆရာ
တော် had this understanding very young so he's very lucky when he was practicing with his teacher and he was practicing continuously he developed very calm mind and he liked itAnd he kept practicing continuously because he wanted to maintain the calm mind. He was enjoying it. He wasn't practicing because he understood something or anything. He just wanted to continue feeling it. He wouldn't sleep at night because he wanted to maintain that feeling. And then he liked it so much. It's a strong personality. He liked it so much. So he was, he kept meditating at night, enjoying that peace.And then a bed bug stung him, bit him. And it, ping, and it broke his concentration. He was very annoyed, but he was like, okay, never mind, I'll just get it back. Because he knows how to get it, right? All you have to do is do what he was doing. So he continued doing it, but he couldn't get it back. But he was determined. He knows there's a cause and effect.
This is impossible.
If you do the work, if you do the work, you'll get the result. So he kept working.You know, doing the same thing he was doing the last 2 days when he was in peace, and he couldn't get it back. He worked 3 days. He had plasters stuck to his head, you know, because he was getting a headache from trying so hard. Still couldn't get it. 3 days later, he finally was like, oh, forget it. You know, he's not gonna get it. And the moment he stopped, it was back. And he said suddenly it hit him. It's because he was trying to get it that he couldn't get it.The work is already there. You will have it, but if you want it, you can't. Then you have to tell his teacher.
So that means you say you're working with a greed behind.
Yeah.
You want it so badly, but I'm greedy.
Yeah.
So that's why you didn't get it. Mm. But you stopped there. Then you got it back.
No, yogi dia wen hong yin mung. Siam mung ji no. Malaysia siam mung ji. To pao do. To tamari ya kong. But ma thai nai tamari kong. At the pi vi ne. To po po lu jian. အဲ့တော့တမန်ကြီးရတဲ့အချိန်ကနေလာတနည်းငါးချိန်ထိုင်ရင်အရင်ငါးချိန်ကိုတမန်ကြီးလာနောက်ကျတော့သုံးချိန်ပဲရနောက်နှစ်ချိန်ပဲရနောက်တစ်ချိန်ပဲရ
တနည်းချိန်ဘာဖြစ်လ
ဲခါမရခါနေပြီနောက်ဆုံးတစ်ချိန်မှမရဘူးကြောင်နေဖြစ်ဟာကျိုးမရောက်လာဆက်ရက်နေရတယ်အ
ဲ
့တော့ကတက်တာကပြန်ပြောက်လို့
There was a someone
who was the guest here
on the
floor
doctor went to practice in Pa'au andhe had good concentration. He got samadhi very easily.
Well, do my motivation. Dimadhi, do what? Tora kya. I motivation.
And he had a strong motivation. He believed that, you know, if he worked very hard, he would become enlightened in that retreat. So he was working very hard. And at first, it was really good. You know, every session he sat, he had good samadhi. But his desire...To continue that was growing, and then his samadhi seemed to get worse. If he sat 5 sessions and was in samadhi 5 sessions, it became 4, then 3, then 2, then 1, and then not at all. He was just agitated the whole session, and he couldn't get any peace. And he was almost crazy. And then he had to get out of there, and he came to Sri Women.
Depression, yeah, or such anybody thought.
He started getting depressed, taking medication, and he came to Seattle. And then Seattle explained what he had done to himself. So for 10 days, Seattle just kept explaining the nature of what the mind had done to itself, how it had cheated itself, and told him not to try practicing so much because the greed was still there. And then after he had calmed down somewhat and understood the logic of it, then he could start practicing again.
You know.
So greed is quite dangerous.
We don't see it
sometimes. People ask him on retreat, what is a yogi's biggest enemy? What do we have to watch out for most in long retreats? And he said it's greed.
Expectation. People seem to want enlightenment, but I don't even know what it is. What is it?
You know, not only you don't know what enlightenment is, none of us. So anybody who says that they want enlightenment don't actually really know what they are wanting. And I was just telling a yogi today, or Nomia today, about something Sayano said a long time ago, I think, to a yogi. He said, you as in the delusion of you, don't want Nibbana. He said, if you saw Nibbana, you would run. Because you was created by delusion, and delusion doesn't want to be enlightened. Delusion wants to stay deluded. So you would run, and he says, not just from Nibbana, even a normal Vipassana insight. You know, when people realize anatta and there's no sense of self or something, they cry because they're so taken with the sense of loss, you know? Things like that. So in the Buddha Dharma, it's wisdom that wants Nibbana. You know, but if you speak, he said when he speaks to the yogis, he realizes yogis who want to be enlightened, all of us just have greed to be enlightened. We think it's something better.
Can I ask a question, please?
Yes, of course.
One of these Western researchers was doing research on the rebirth.
Yes.
Ian Stevenson, quite famous.
Yes.
When he went to explain Westerners what he's doing,
yes,
he thought he was crazy because they just didn't accept the idea of rebirth.
Yes.
And then he went to the Asian people, and they thought he was crazy because they took it as a fact.
How can we find out rebirth is true?
Stephen,
People in Asia have real experiences, believable experiences, you know, of There are people he's seen, yogis who come to the center, who remember how they died in their previous life. They can remember it. And then there are stories of people who, you know, family members who have died and then been reborn in the same family or in a neighbor's house, and then who say things, they're born now after the other person has died, and say things that the other person used to say, know things that the person who died used to know, and this is just a child, not even like a 7-year-old, maybe a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old saying things that are quite incredible. And if we understand cause and effect, he says, then we are more it's more believable. You know, when you know there's cause and effect, then it's more understandable that there could be rebirth.
I think a competition in job. Who should not join the experiment? Effectively,
yeah. Because every present moment is the effect of a set of conditions of the past. In Burma, there's a very famous Abhidhamma teacher, Siada Unandamala. He went to Korea. He was talking about how every moment is actually a moment of an effect. It's called a vipaka, right? Result. Yeah. So every moment is a result only of past conditions. So if you have a pleasant experience now, it's because of a result of past conditions. If you have an unpleasant experience now, it's a result of past conditions. And the Koreans, he said some of them just couldn't accept it. They felt that there are so many moments. How can everything just be a result? You know, something must be happening in the moment. But, I mean, some people find it just hard to believe. His teacher says this too, has said this too. I mean, it's in the Buddha Dharma. But he said when Siada Unandamala was saying this and he was listening to it, he said suddenly he felt like he understood it better, that every moment is really such a lot of just results. You know. Yes?
At his rebirth, are we reborn with all the stuck delusions we left with the last time?
And the wisdoms.
And the wisdoms.
Both.
Both.
Hmm? ဒီဘဝမှာလေကိုယ်ကအရင်ဘဝရဲ့မောဟတွေနဲ့မွေးလာတာလားတဲ့သူကပြောဟုတ်တယ်လို့ညာနေတယ်မွေးလာတာလို့ဟမ်အရင်ဘဝမှာကိုယ်စုထားတဲ့
အကုန်လုံးပါ
မောဟတွေရော
အကုန်လုံးပါအ
ကုန်လုံး
ကောင်းတယ်ကပါမကောင်းတယ်ကပ
ါ Yeah, the mind is our mind now is a legacy of everything past, so we have everything as a result of everything past.
မကောင်းတာများရင်လူတော့မဖြစ်ဘူ
း Yeah, if there's a lot ofunwholesome stuff in the past, you know, then we have a lot of unwholesome results. Some of it is animals out there, so things like that. Yeah, so being human, we know we had a lot of good conditions in the past. Yes.
When do we stop being reborn again?
When do we stop being reborn?
Yeah.
Pero yamale. When there is no more greed to be reborn.When there is no wanting to be anymore.
Like people who said that you have to keep being reborn because of this past karmic, whatever. So can you just, the wanting not to be reborn, is that as simple as that?
No. You cannot not want. The mind just wants. You have to understand.Everything else. So what? Go go. Mamui jin lo be pit wa mala. No,
no, no. Think I do. Just change. Yeah, I go.
Yeah.
But that one, mati lo lo jala, ma ho la.
Mati lo lo jala.
Lo jala, jai lo lo jala.
Yeah. Hello. Lan.
Mati dai jai.
Trap bao.
Mati dai le jai. Di na gu jiang tu lo lo change. Hello.
Trap bao.
Trap trap change ni ma.
Yeah.
Hello. Kuna lo amane ti ba li, ma lo jiang tu lo suo jia tu.
He says, first is delusion, and then it's desire or attachment. Because we don't understand that it's all delusion, we're attached to being. When we finally understand, when there is true understanding, when you see through the delusion, that's when the desire to hang on to it goes. Yeah.But it's not something we can will to happen. Yeah, so we're in this cycle first because we don't understand, and after a while we actually become attached. We want it to happen. We want to be in the cycle. Yeah.
No, we.
The mind. The delusion. The delusion. It wants to be.
အဲ့တော့သူယူးယူးလေးပြောတယ် ดูเสียงข้างหน้ามันพิชิงพิชิงมันพิชิงมันพิชิงได้สามีบ้างไหมยูยูนี่ตัวเดียวพิชิงพิชิงมันพิชิงมันพิชิง
His teacher used to explain the Four Noble Truths, and he said very simply, the Four Noble Truths say that if you want to be, you will be. If you don't want to be, there won't be. So if you want, there will be. You will be. There will be suffering. If you don't want, there will not be.
Teaching.
Yeah. If you want.
Teaching.
So if you want, you will get, and you get dukkha.
Ah, they are worthy. Ah, but in our life, we teach about pain.
So somebody said, "I don't want pain. So why is there pain?"
So now the teaching is.โอ้ปรมัตถ์ผิดฉินน่ะไม่ดูปรมัตถ์ผิดฉินเนี่ยซินเยนอกมันผิดฉินน่ะคุณน่ะนาราวมันนาราวผิดฉินน่ะว่าผิดฉินน่ะมันผิดฉินเนาะ
He says and this not wanting is misunderstood so the first part bit is I want and whatever I want I get but whatever I get will be suffering yes because if there's desire then we get sufferingThat's the samsara. That's the
samudaya
bit. That's the cause of suffering. And the other bit, he says, the road leading to the end of suffering and the end of suffering. He says, is where you no longer want to want or not want. You give up all desire to want or not want. The way we understand wanting and not wanting, we just understand it. Our natural inclination is to just understand it as greed and aversion. Our not wanting means aversion. It's not the not wanting, the what's the nakamala, the relinquishing that wisdom does. Wisdom understands, so it relinquishes all choice to want or not want, you know. But when we do it, when our normal mind does it, we want because we think it's nice or good. We don't want because we think it's not nice or not good, you know. So yeah, that's our normal habit.
Well, maybe we have it's been translated at the moment as freedom of want and freedom from want.
Not want. Freedom from want and not want.
Freedom of want and freedom from want.
Freedom of want. Tu aku telah terubah tapi antara ada lo jina galai lo miao dan eh lo jina kani le lo miao dan.
The pair of prepositions.
Freedom of want and freedom
from
want.
Freedom of want and freedom from want.
Terubah tapi antara. The language becomes so refined. I need to retire
He says,
again, wanting. Chanda and
Loba.
We think want is all greed, but wisdom also wants things, but without greed. It understands this is wholesome, so this is desirable in that sense. And wisdom wants the best, you know. It will work towards it, but not with greed. The difference is that wisdom really knows, it understands. We most of the time we don't really understand, and we think we want something, you know. We think it would be nice.
Is this all what is called bhavatanha and vibhavatanha in the teaching?
Bhavatanha is the desire to be the.
And vibhavatanha is the.
Vibhavatanha.
Vibhavatanha.
Vibhavatanha is also a kind of
delusion.
It's the not wanting the pain. Vibhavatanha, yeah.
Pain practice, don't you want?
He says, talk about practice.
Yogi, yogi.
Yogi.
Do they have a power?
Yes.
About the hindrances?
Hindrances.
And also avicca?
Avicca.
Avicca is caused by the hindrances, is it? Or the five hindrances are kind of creating avicca because of the five hindrances we don't see?
Avicca, ni vura na jang pita la.
So it seems important in order to create.
Yeah, I have total bushi.
Yeah.
ตัวอาเมียวเลยก็โดนอะไรบาลุขิเนี่ยโลภะจังขิอือหือโลภะบาลุขิเนี่ยโมหะจังขิอือหือโลภะบาลุขิเนี่ยโมหะจังขิโมหะบาลุขิเนี่ยตัวอะมันเนี่ยไม่ติญาณไม่ใช่หรอกอือญาณไม่ใช่หรอกบาลุขิเนี่ยนิวรณะเนี่ยอากองเลยอ๋ออนิวรณะเนี่ยบาลุอากองเลยดุจเนี่ยเลยอ่ะอะหลุซอแล้วหลุปัดตัวไอ้ตัวตันตะคุชิเนี่ยดุจเนี่ยดุลงแล้วอ่ะแล้วพวกเราดุจเนี่ยมันเลยดุจเนี่ยเลิกมาเลยอ่ะปัดตัว
Why is there dosa? Because there's loba. Loba causes dosa. Why is there loba? Because there's moha. Delusion causes loba.
So his
simple understanding is, why is there moha? Because there's not enough wisdom. But in that sutta it said, why is there moha? Because the nivaranas are strong.
Yes.
And then it says, why are the nivaranas strong? Because
Ducharita's
wrong inappropriate behaviors are being practiced. So how do you reverse it? Do wholesome deeds, then your nivaranas will be less, moha will, then the mind is more pure, less moha and the less etc etc.
I wanted to ask about the five hindrances. The Buddha gave us several tools to work with the hindrances.
Yes.
And Seado is talking very much about mindfulness and awareness.
Yes.
And kind of not distinguishing between desirable and non-desirable objects.
Yes.
But in a way, sometimes in our practice we're trying to overcome the hindrances by a certain kind of means, like if there's vyapada, trying to use metta,
yes,
and these things. I was wondering, this can sometimes lead to a kind of controlling attitude.
Yes.
So we are kind of looking at our mind and we see certain states of mind arising, passing, and we interfere.
Yes.
So sometimes for me it's very unclear which is the right time to just be mindful.
Yes.
Because sometimes it's obvious enough.
Yes, so which is skillful means? When you should use
a
means, when you should just be mindful. Is that right?
Yes. And how to get this kind of
skillful
controlling attitude
out of this
approach if we use skillful means.
ဒီလိုဆိုရင်ဥပမာပြာပါဒမြားရဲ့မေတ္တာတော့ဘာလို့အဲ့လိုမျိုးရှိတယ်တဲ့ဒါပေမဲ့အခုဦးဇင်းတင်တဲ့ထက်မှလည်းဦးဇင်းတင်ထားတဲ့သဘောထားမှာပေါ့ဟိုကြိုက်တာလည်းမရှိဟိုဒီဟာကောင်းတဲ့အာရုံလည်းမယူနဲ့မကောင်းတဲ့အာရုံလည်းမယူနဲ့အာရုံတော့ဘယ်လိုအရှိရှိတယ်ဒါပေမဲ့လက်ခံပြီးတော့တမျိုးအဲ့ဒါတမွေးယူညာမွေးယူအဲ့ဒါမှတော့ပြောပြတုတ်ထွက်ကပါခက်ခဲနေဆိုသူကဒီနီလာနေမြ
တစ်ခါလေးတနီလာပို့ที่ที่อย่าง
เนี้ย
တစ်ခါလေးခေါ်တော့ဘလူးလို့ဒီဟာ skillful ဖြစ်ဖို့ပေါ့ကို
ကျွမ်းကျင်အမြဲတမ်းလုပ်နေကိုယ်နဲ့ဘဝနဲ့မလုပ်တော့ဘူးဝိပဿနာနဲ့အမြင်မလုပ်နိုင်ဘူ
း
။ဒီလေ့လာတာအမြင်မလုပ်နိုင်ဘူး။ဖြစ်လာတဲ့အခါအရင်ရှင်းရတယ်ခဏခဏတက်တာကိုလုပ်ရတယ
်။ဒ
ီဘောင်းဆောင်လုပ်ရတယ
်
။ရှိတယ်မြအကုန်ထုတ်တော့ရတယ်။ညာနဲ့ဘလို့လုံးတက်တာပဲ
။ဆရာတော် says
ညာညာတိလေညာညာလုပ်လို့ရတယ်ပဲ။ဒီနားအများကြီးရှိတယ
်။ Understanding skillful means comes through your own practice because it is your mind. You need to understand it. Understanding when to use which way he said it's also something that will come with practice. The more you practice, the more you have to face the hindrances, the more skillful you become at understanding when what will be effective or what is in the way of being effective. Siano said when he was practicing at home, yeah, when he was in lay life and he was practicing like a devil, he did not investigate all that. He wasn't just being aware of mindful, mindful, mindful all the time. No, he said very often he had to deal with things. Sometimes
something came up and he had to just fix it right away. And he said there are so many ways to deal with it, right? You might use right thought, you might just watch it until it fades, you might talk to yourself, you might stop it. Use everything in your arsenal. Use anything.
Not just according to the particular hindrance, but to the situation.
Sorry?
Not only according to the particular hindrance, but according to situations, according to...
What is skillful what is for you, yeah. Right. Yes.
Yes.
So,
okay. Wisdom means then to be able to choose the right thing at once.
Yes.
Learning. He said he was Siara said when he was young, he did this once, fairly young. He was trying to meditate, he was feeling so restless. He just couldn't be still, and then he was thinking to himself, how to be still? He thought, when I'm lost in thought, I feel quite peaceful. He said, so he decided to think. So he started thinking.
What I want, huh?
Yeah. Then he got quite still. Once he felt still, he said, okay, this is it. And he put it back to his anapana or whatever he was doing. Oh, he got it immediately. It's just, you can use anything. Yeah. He said the Buddha also used, things like that. Use the defilements to hope, like Queen Kema, he used her greed for beauty.
Beautiful.
Yeah. To hook her attention. And then once he had her attention, she had samadhi. Then he showed her the reality of, So that wisdom, knowing what to use, also comes out of the practice. You try things, at different times it doesn't work, and sometimes it works, and then you find out why. So the motivation is very important, right? Like, he wanted to use it as a tool to get back to his practice. Thinking how to get calm. Yeah, there are so many ways to calm the mind, really.
I was going to relate an experience I just had at tea time. We were just having some tea and we were all sitting around and talking. There was then actually what happened was somebody passed wind and it was very smelly. I was sitting there and two ladies were sitting beside me and they screwed up their face. They didn't enjoy it. And I just said, oh, that's life. And then later, you see, we were talking and then they were talking about that they like to get involved in government protests and things like this. They're quite socially active. And I said, oh, it's like you don't like things. So you want to protest about it, and even if it's good, okay, But I said, you only liking is in relation to disliking, So it's nice to have things in good condition, but it's only because you the bad condition too. I said, just like this smell, I said you like the fresh smell, but here's the bad smell. And I said the reality is okay. I look good on the outside. But actually inside it's not so nice. I said, so you have to think that, if you can be with the ugly things, you can also be with the nice things and in a more rich way, That's life. You're more intimate with life because you're not, that's life.
Yeah, you're more accepting, you're more embracing of the whole.
Yeah, that's how life is,
Hey, you're the media. ဒီပေါ်ကနားလို့သူများရှင်မင်းသားလေးကသူကရှုပ်ပြသူကနံပါတ်3ပြောပြသူတို့အဲဒီပါလေ demonstration တွေတို့ရေးတို့ရေးတို့အလုပ်ချင်လို့ဒီမှာအစင်မပြေတဲ့ဟာတွေတော့သူတို့ပြောတယ်အဲ့ဒါနဲ့ဒါမဲ့ကိုမချိုက်တာရှိလို့မချိုက်လို့ဒါမဲ့ဒါနဲ့ကိုကောင်းတာသိလို့ကိုကမချိုက်တာရှိတယ်မချိက်တာကိုမကောင်းလို့သိတယ်ဒါမဲ့သူပြောတယ်ဒါမဲ့ဥပမာသူ့ကိုလည်းလာတယ်လို့ထင်ရတယ်ဒါမဲ့အထဲမှာမကောင်းပါဘူးလေအထူ the boa re kwa ma kaung na wo kwa lak khan nai ne kaung na ba twae ba re so lo akon lo ko lak khan nai bo ma kaung la re ba so bo ma di dai be re kaung ni be ma phit nai mo bo le
to lo kana sit ba yi shit li ma le mo
yeah he says it's the eight winds. The Lokadhamma must be both the good and the bad. The Lokadhamma is not only the bad, it is also the good. Sorry, just before you begin, somebody at the back wanted to ask something when this Bhante was speaking. Did you want to say something? Earlier, somebody in the back said something.
Translation of Pali terms.
Oh, which? Oh, right.
Pali terms.
Right. Did I do the translation eventually? I don't know.
That's like my neighbor did. Thank you.
Thank you.
Go for it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just a
yeah.
Sometimes when I'm meditating, it goes on all right.
Yes.
And suddenly I get into this exactly like a dream.
Yes.
What you dream at night,
yes.
But I'm awake.
Yes.
So I pull myself back. And so for that, is there anything other than right effort or something apart from that? Is there any other solution when I get into this dream state?
When you sit meditation.
Yes, when I'm meditating. Exactly,
but only when
like
you're sitting meditation, right? Not
yes,
just when you're
no,
meditating,
no.
Right? Yeah. So you don't do this when you're walking meditation,
no,
right?
No,
yeah.
Just that while you're sitting. And
yes.
It's exactly like what I would be dreaming at night in my sleep.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. To teacher teacher, yeah, I met the lower. I met her. We are going. That means if you are at home, no, no, in that thing. As you
do,
He said probably going into these daydreams because the mind's interest in the present moment, interest in the work of mindfulness is not there. So the mind is kind of doing the work of mind, being mindful, being aware, maybe a little bit blindly, a little bit. It's just doing the work, but there's no purpose. Why am I doing this work? What am I, you know?
So
it's good to remind yourself, you know, what's the mind doing? Why is the mind doing this? Sometimes when in his reminders in the hall, he says to people, are you going to be aware or are you just going to indulge in what you're feeling? So to be careful whether you just get lulled into just being mindful or you're really being
mindful.
At the center, Sierra once asked, he said, do we realize that peace is also a kind of dukkha? And this monk, he'd been indulging in his sitting sessions and got a bit alarmed. He thought Sierra was talking to him. He's just asking, you know, do you understand that peace is also dukkha? he felt, the monk felt a bit guilty. He's like, oh, I wonder if Seattle read my mind, you know. No, he was just talking about his own, yeah, whatever he had been thinking of. Sometimes we are paying attention, but we're not really on top of our game. We're not really conscious of the awareness, and you know, we're paying attention, but we're not awake, alert. We're not alert. So there's although there's some sati and samadhi, some awareness, and the mind is quite stable, but there's a lot of delusion. Despite the fact that there's awareness, and this is when we get into
the state.
And when we recognize thought, recognize thinking, he says, we need to remember, we need to recognize that the thought is an object, thinking is an object, this is the mind. Every time we recognize thinking, what we recognize is the story. You know, we reckon, and that if we do this often, then again we get sucked into the story.
Deeply.
He said it's very, very important to understand when something is an object. That something is an object. You know, we know something, and whatever we're knowing is the object. And it's very important to recognize that something is an object. He said that makes meditation a whole lot easier. In Pali it's called the Aramana object
and Aramanika,
the knowing and object.
The definition of
if we understood the reality of that, it just makes it much easier when we practice. We don't get lost so much, or we are distracted so much. Maybe. Just talking from my point of view. Yes. Yes.
I was just going to make a comment that I'm new to meditation, and I used to do what is called samadhi, you know, just relaxation breathing. Mm. I didn't know it was called that until 3 months ago. And now the vipassana, which is more around, well, how does the mind feel about the subject, which has been the focus. So when I sit down at this retreat, and there's a different, and it's really just a comment that I really feel like there's a different quality in the way that the mind reacts to the question of how does the mind feel about this. So that's how I'm beginning.
Yeah.
Whereas before I would sit and breathe and focus on the nose or whatever.
Yeah.
And they had some enjoyable experiences with that, but there's quite a different quality, and then you seem to get into, I actually find my breathing slows right down anyway. Anyway, I'm just making a comment about, from someone who's quite new at this, that even in my rough way, there seems to be
a different
quality, and that there's more flexibility for me in this approach around asking a question about your mind, which is, it's just a comment.
Yeah.
But maybe if you'd like to comment on the comment, I don't
know. Okay. ကိုတင်းကြုံပြောပြတာပါတယ်သူကသိအာမထုတ်ဘူးလို့ပြောတာပဲသူကသူ့လုံးမျိုးလို့သူရင်တော့ဟိုဒီလိုငြိမ်းအောင်ပဲအာထုတ်တာများတယ်ကဲအခုမှအခုတုံးလာပဲရှိသေးတယ်တရားတမာတိလို့ခေါ်တယ်ဆိုတာအဲဒီမှာကျတော့ဦးစင်းကဖြစ်နေတဲ့အတွေ့အကြုံပေါ်မှာကိုဘယ်လိုခံစားရလဲလို့ပြောတော့သူအဲ့လိုမျိုးမေးခွန်းလေးမေးတာတဲ့ဘယ်လိုမှဖြစ်ဖြစ်စိတ်ကငြိမ်းတာပဲတဲ့ကိုလိုလုံးနဲ့ငြိမ်းလဲဒီလိုပ အကျိုးရှိတယ်ဒါတော့သူဒီတိုင်းတင်ပြတာပါတဲ့ဦးစင်းတစ်ခုပြောခြင်းလဲ
ညင်နာညင်နာခုနလိုကောင်းတဲ့ထွေးလို့ညင်နာလဲညင်နေလောဘဒေါသမရှိလို့ညင်နာလဲညင်နာ
He says
ဟာကွာပါလားဒီမှာလောဘဒေါသတကယ်မရှိရင်အနည်းနေလို့ရှိရင်ညင်ပြီးသား
Yeah He says when we concentrate the mind concentrate လို့တော့စဉ်းညင်နေဆိုတော့လေလောဘဒေါသမရှိလို့ပဲညင်တာ concentrate လို့ရင်လည်းလောဘဒေါသရှိရင်စိတ်ကောင်းညင်မှာမဟုတ်ဘူ
း concentrate လို့ညင်တာကတော့ညင်မှာပါဘူ
းအာကိုကနားလဲပြီးတော့လုပ်တာ
attitude မှန်နေတဲ့ဆိုတော့အဲ့ဒါတဘာဝအစဉ်းစားနေတဲ့အတွက်ညံကြောက်ကလောဘဒေါသ
Okay just wanted to clarify with Seattle because suddenly it occurred to me Seattle said when we if we just concentrate on something that can quiet the mind he says alternatively if there's no lobha and dosa in the mind it will quiet the mind I said wait a bit I said Seattle if you concentrate on something there still must not be lobha dosa in the mind then only the mind will calm down because you can concentrate on one thing and never calm down because you have lobha for quietness or something so he said yes but he said what he's talking about is the difference of not realizing that there must be no lobha dosa in the mind and just concentrating on something and there's no lobha dosa in the mind but you don't know that you're just concentrating and the mind calms down the other one is understanding that it is because there's no lobha dosa in the mind that whatever you do then the mind will be calm whether you're concentrating or not if there's no lobha dosa in the mind is calm so there's the two that's the difference
can I ask something about intention I've had an experience today while we were out walking and talking,
yes.
which was very different from the experience I had before, but the information was similar.
Yes.
So in other words, I was in a situation recently where I was giving information about myself to someone, and felt very strongly that I was trying to one-up myself subtly, but I was. I gave that information to someone today and I didn't have any sense that it was just information.
Yes.
I guess what the question I have is that obviously there was greed in the first situation for me, you know, like,
sure,
I'm better. And then it turned, I think, to confusion. So, because then I started to go over it, my head, you shouldn't do that, and it was really hard, you know.
Yeah.
And so then it just ravaged on for ages. Whereas today, of course, it was nothing.
Yeah.
It was just, that was information.
Yeah.
But I guess one of my questions is in daily life, how can that happens a lot. How can I bring in wisdom, I suppose, in those situations where the mind is
tense together? Yeah.
Where am I?
You said you've got to buy that wisdom. Can I have a drink? I think I'll tell you my what.
Every time this happens to you,
he says you have to notice the mind, you have to investigate it when you can, and you will learn lessons about it. When your mind is thoroughly fed up and really doesn't want to, or you understand something about it.
Yeah,
none of us automatically know everything when we're born. We have to learn. We use whatever knowledge we get, borrow, we think about it, we're able to absorb as much as we can logically, and then we apply it until we understand more. We all have the potential to develop all wisdom. All the wisdom that's necessary. He says, we just haven't grown that potential. Because the defilements are covering, it's like a burning burning piece of coal. You know, it's covered in ash. We just need to blow the ash away. Uncover them.
And when they're fast, when one defilement follows another,
He says when the defilements are very strong, the rest of our little wisdom is quite helpless. He says he was 30. He knew nothing, he said. He lived his life.
Very stupid. Very suffering.
And he always looks back, he says, at how he was at 30, how deluded he was, and the difference now. And he always feels it was all worth it. He says, so when we think back, he said, what is it that we feel proud of? Something that we feel that we learn, you know, that we've made a difference in our own life.
England, proud
of that, or
what
is the proudest moment of your life? What in your life gives you strength? You know, makes you feel that it's been worth it. He asked his brother, his elder brother, he's a businessman, quite successful, he's a doctor, asked him, what are you really proud of in your life? You know, what you're really happy with in your life? He said, nothing. We must find these answers ourselves. Because we each live our own life.
Yes.
The following one from Dan. What about these deep defilements we all have, which are sort of so much part of our personality, and we don't even know that they exist?
The cuddle blind spot.
And how do we deal with it?
The choki litar, ya kuma. Nenne. He says, don't worry about the defilements. They're always there. Just practice to grow the wisdom. When the wisdom is strong enough, it will remove those defilements. Defilements do their own work. We can't stop things. The practice cannot stop. It's not to actively stop anything. The practice is to actively grow something, which is the good quality, which is wisdom and awareness and all. So do what you can. Don't work with what you
can.
In the Buddha Dharma, it is said, you know, it is explained thus, you know, that the defilements are the enemy and, you know, we have to extinguish the enemy and all that sort of thing. He said, but in practice, he says, that's not, we don't know how to do it in a wholesome way. He says, and the right thing to rely on is to then grow the quality that will battle the defilement effectively. So we don't battle the defilement, we grow wisdom, which has the ability to battle the defilement.
Rely on two acolyte.
So rely on wisdom.
He take this.
He'll stand by you. It will stand by you.
So we need to line up. More, chat up more. I'm a chat up to chat with
you.
More, I'm missing your good name. I tell you.
Sierra was getting very tired going for the walk today because he hasn't walked for a long time. And the tireder he got, he said, the quieter his mind got, the more he put it inside. He just stayed with himself. At first, he had energy. He was looking around, found it interesting, the view. After, when he was tired, no more interest. Just inside himself. Just taking care of himself.
Yeah.
And then the monks got ahead. And the other, you know, other people got ahead and he got left behind. And it was okay because he was, you know, peaceful and he was in himself. He says, he knows ordinarily people when they get tired, then they get frustrated, they get more agitated.
Yeah. Juice time, we drink a lot. So, a toast time, a juice time, pure of your own. Get on a pure. I'm a chance being the other time.
Juice time, Sierra said, a lot of people were talking today. And he mentioned this morning, but he hasn't mentioned it to the evening group. And he says, and he wants to give us a chance, an opportunity. So he says, he's going to insist that everybody must talk at juice time. But you must choose one partner, because I don't know, maybe you, if you had too many partners, you would be mindless. But he wants you to be mindful when talking. You must practice. You cannot just talk. No, you must be practicing
how to mindful.
He did this in the Czech Republic. It is very helpful. It can be beneficial. But we must practice. Must be mindful while talking.
He says,
when we practice awareness, he says, it is most difficult for us to be aware when we see, when we look, when we listen, and when we talk. Because we never practice being aware when we look, listen, and talk. It's always only difficult because we don't practice it enough. We don't practice being aware in that situation enough. In the Satipatthana Sutta, the Buddha did say, when speaking, speak with awareness and wisdom. But we don't really practice it. or so. He says, please try. Gregory Kramer.
To a special type.
There's a teacher in America, Gregory Kramer. I don't know if you've heard of him. He teaches. He teaches a kind of meditation where you sit anapana, then he rings a bell, you turn to the person next to you and you start blabbering. Well, I shouldn't say that. You start talking. And then he stops you. And he rings another bell and he stops you. And then when you stop, everything you've been talking about is still going through your mind. And then he starts talking about the Buddha Dharma. So while you're silent again, he talks about the Buddha Dharma. And that's how people match what they've been saying and the wisdom of it and how it relates to the Buddha Dharma. And that's something he specializes in. It's very interesting. There was a bhikkhu who came to the center and he wanted to practice talking meditation. Sierra said this morning, he said he wants to call it noble talking. Not only noble silence but also noble talking. So anyway, this bhikkhu was wanted to learn to speak mindfully. So he was trying very hard to practice it at the center. Then he went to do sitting meditation. Then someone came to speak to him. And he got pissed off. So then Sierra said to him, so what is meditation? What are you doing? So for this person, he has... because for this bhikkhu, then this bhikkhu realized he's got this concept that if he's sitting, nobody must talk to him. But actually, it's just about being aware, whatever happens.
Sounds like a very funny idea.
So, Bhante, maybe could you speak more about what are good characteristics? Then, how do you know that you're speaking properly? Are you happy? Are you joyful? Or
everything.
You're not sucked in by the story.
Thinking, what are you feeling? The tone of your voice, your thoughts,
your actions, your face, everything.
First, you must be mindful before you start talking. And then be mindful as you start speaking, and with practice you will be aware of everything. And the more skillful you become at being mindful when you speak, the more skillful your speech will become. The more meaningful the things you say will become. Yes.
Sir. Would that a very very strong aspect be? Really listening to the other person, giving your all to the other person.
For example, if there's greed to talk, if someone is too eager to put across their point of view, they stop being able to listen properly. Sometimes somebody else says something, they don't even hear it, they just drop it. Because they're so busy thinking about what they want to say, they drop it, bounces off their ears. Yeah, it doesn't go into their head. So if they hear, but they don't absorb, they don't get it. Sometimes they don't hear.
But then when you say that to only be listening.
Yes.
No. Listening and also purely.
Because when you're only listening, all these things will be going in your mind, or tap about the person.
Well, if it's happening, then know that.
Yeah.
It's not to prevent anything, it's to be aware of what is happening.
So that just can be observed.
Yes, it can be observed.
I'm already aware that so many patterns of talking are aversion, complaining about the weather, complaining about politicians.
Yeah.
So it's aversion, so stop.
တော့ပြောရဲသူပြောရတဲ့အထက်မှာအများကြီးอ่ะဟိုမကြိုက်တဲ့အကြောင်းတွေ complain တွေပေါ့ politics ကမကောင်းတာတွေအဲ့တော့ तू อ่ะတခါလေးပြောပြောနေတော့ပါပြီအဲ့တော့ကြီးဒါမလိုအပ်တယ်မဟုတ်တယ
်အဲ့ပြောလို့ तू อ่ะအကောင်းလာပြီအဲ့စိတ်ကြီးอ่ะအကောင်းလာအမလူလီဖြစ်သွားတယ်လို့ तू อ่ะထင်ရပြီမဲ့ဘယ်လိုမှ तू อ่ะအပူနောက်တစ်ခါပြောလို့ तू อ่ะအဆုနေ
he says complaining you know venting is very dangerous practice because it reinforces itself, it becomes a habit, and then it gets stronger. The need, we think that we feel better after venting, but the need to do it again and again and again, it just, it's dangerous.
So are we saying limit it to constructive discussions?
Ero, uze piora, juice time mazaga pioe, kudo pisi mazaga pio kaina. Sano is saying just be mindful because you can't control speech. He's not saying
the DC in to what you believe in ညာဖြစ်လာမယ်လေ
ည
ာတော့ဒါကောင်းတယ်မကောင်းရွေးတာဘုလိုချင်းတယ်ကိုယ်ထိန်းထားတာမျိုးမလိုချင်းဘ
ူး because you see the juice the three juice sessions you'll have next are not going to make you all into wise speakers all at once. He just wants you to practice because in life we will not always choose our conversations. But we have the choice. Yeah, and in life, when we have to speak, we want to remember how to be aware so that we will learn to become more and more wise in our speech. And this is just
practice.
A time to practice. It might go horribly wrong sometimes. So can't we yes, and if it goes horribly wrong, he says, learn from it. That's all we can do is learn from things.
Sometimes when we speak, when we're listening to that person,
yeah.
we're so intent.
Yeah.
We forget to be
aware,
mindful.
Yeah.
We're so focused on the
conversation. I don't think you take eye on what you know.
So,
take attention to me, I'll put you on the
team. Both in speaking and in listening, he says we need to remember to keep our attention on ourselves. Not to pay so much attention to the person that's speaking when they are speaking. Because that's too much energy. If you stay with yourself, you still hear the person, but you can remain aware. So you must remember to keep bringing the attention back into yourself when you speak and when you listen.
Stay with your body, stay to yourself.
Anything
inside yourself, mind and body.
And then she already answered my question. I was wondering is whether, so we pay attention only to ourselves.
Mostly to ourselves.
Both when listening and speaking.
Yes.
So we are not going to worry about the tone or the what the other person is, the body language of the other person.
You can't help but notice it. You will yes. notice it. So you don't ignore it.
You pay attention to that too. Because
you pay attention to
your see what it is.
You pay attention to that. You pay attention to that.
Not only the words. Do we pay attention to the other person's tone, the body language, everything?
Yourself. No,
you are paying attention.
You are paying, and know that you are paying right. attention, and at the same time, you are also paying attention to what is going on within
you. Yourself. Right.
So, okay.
Mostly to yourself.
Mostly to yourself.
The rest will be noticed automatically. You don't have to do it purposely. Yes, the mind will do it naturally.
It's just like if somebody says something to you, like all the negative things, all the dull things, so you just get into yourself.
Yeah.
Instead of getting
copious,
resentful or
just
come back to you and say, like, just let it bounce.
What's the last thing with that?
Yeah.
And not react.
So if you remain interested in your reactions, and not interested in what the person is saying.
Yeah.
So you will hear the complaints, you know, the dull things and all, but you're interested in your reactions. Then, you know, you have something interesting to do while that person goes on.
Right? You start getting feeling angry because that person is saying something that is not right.
Hey, you are. He says saying something that's not right, that's their business.
Yeah.
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 But
it's
about you.
It's not right.
Listen,
because they came out. Siaro says there is never a good reason to be angry. We choose to get angry. We choose to get angry, but it's not that anything is something that we should get angry about. There's nothing that we should get angry
about.
His Siaro,
if someone is insulting you, don't you get angry?
Yeah.
He said, I mean, up to a question, if someone insults you, don't you get angry? He says, then why suffer twice? Myself suffer, why? So, to your question, Parlet to Piera. His teacher used to say to him, when I am upset, hurt, angry, the fault lies within myself. He said, so when from then he said he would always ask himself, if he got angry, why am I getting angry? What is it that I'm
saying?
Correct. Somebody else is doing something
wrong.
Why am I getting upset? Why don't you let that person suffer because they're doing something wrong? Why? Suffering for them. But anger does not understand reason. Anger doesn't understand whether it's beneficial or not, whether it's necessary or not. Anger just wants to be angry. There's a phrase in Pali that says, dosa knows no cause nor effect. Dosa does not understand cause, does not understand effect, and loba does not understand cause, and loba does not understand effect. It doesn't understand.
I remember reading a line from Ajahn Chah
that
said, why do you get angry at someone if they're angry with you and they're right? Yeah. Well, then accept they're right. And if they're wrong, why waste your time getting angry? Because they're wrong.
Yeah. Ajahn Chah, you're wrong.
Information is easy.
He says this sort of information is important. He's been hearing this since he was little, so it helps.
Can I ask about meditation?
Yeah.
Say if you're sitting down and you're aware of many things and your feelings, and then after that you watch your mind is very quiet and peaceful, then you sit somewhere and you watch your mind again, still quiet and peaceful, and then there's a tendency to go to the breath. What do you do then?
So let the attention go to the breath and then investigate object, knowing mind. Investigate. What else can you know? What can you understand from this about the mind?
Not to focus on the breath.
Let it be with the breath and then investigate.
What
is object? What is mind?
That time, no?
While it's on the breath, while it is on the anapana. So, what is the object? What is the knowing? Can you see it? Can you tell the difference between the knowing and the object when you're doing anapana? And then, what else do you know?
is it only the anapana that is known? What else is being known? What else does is the mind aware of? Does the air go through one nostril or both nostrils? This is just to bring interest to the moment.
He says
different things that you can investigate, yeah? You're breathing. Why are you breathing? Why do you have to breathe? And then if you know other objects, for example, there's touching, you will hear things. How many touch points? You know the hearing and the anapana and the touching points. Do you know them all at once? Do you know them one by one?
One by one.
Yeah, you can investigate in so many ways. Just walk around. When you're peace, and it's peaceful. Why is it peaceful?
Mm. Shakespeare had it right when he said nothing is either good or bad, the thinking makes it so. Mm-hmm.
Shakespeare said?
Hamlet.
The mind creates the concept. Because what is happening is just happening, and then our judgment makes it good or bad for us. Yeah, only for us. We color it.
Sorry, can I ask, is it good to ask? I mean, you've given maybe a lot of examples of different questions, but I don't tend to do that. I just tend to have one, maybe. I'm calm, I ask one question and just let it run without analyzing it or thinking any further, but just maybe that creates a certain attitude in the mind and then I just let it run. I don't know, that's all. Is it just an attitude the question brings in and that's all?
He said it's very different for you and for what he's telling her. He says she doesn't know what to ask herself. So he's not saying, he's also not asking her to ask all the questions. He's just giving many examples because if he doesn't give her many, she might be stuck with just the one example he gives her. Because she's not thinking for herself about what else she might investigate. But in your case, you don't need that. You know yourself what you want to investigate, and that, as you said, already sets the tone for you, and then the rest of the meditation takes that tone. That's fine. So he asked a question. He says, when Seattle says ask a question, can it get into too much thinking? Can we start asking a question and then theorizing and analyzing and then it becomes too much thinking, and is that actually against the spirit of the meditation? So if we understand the purpose of the question, which is to ignite interest, to awaken our wisdom a little bit, it is to ask a question
to motivate the observation, not to ask a question to then think about the answer.
Interesting medium.
If we're already interested, we're already finding it interesting dancing around all our objects, then we don't have to ask a question.
So can I ask Sarah, like I like to, after also I've sat for a while, I like to reflect, you know, at the end of the sitting or something before I do something else, like what has happened. But I also like to reflect in a positive sense on my thing, where I just like to give myself some credits for what I've done.
Yeah.
I don't know if he, what's his view on that kind of thing.
Tu a thai lo bi lo, now to khu ma lo khe ne, tu ko tu a ye, tong ta te re, ru ba lo khe le. Now tu ko tu le,
ya ne?
Yes, this is necessary. When he was practicing at home, daily, when he went home, he would think about the whole day. He would think about how he was mindful that day, when he was mindful, when he was not, when he did it well, when he did not, where he had weakness and what he should do about it, where he had strengths. Tomorrow, how shall I deal with those moments that I'm not so good at dealing with? So he had a battle plan for the next day. And then the next day he went out, was mindful, yes. And then at the end of the day, did the same thing again. And he did that daily, and then with practice, it became almost instantaneous. He would have a moment of weakness, he would reflect on it, and then he would think about how to deal with it next time. So it got to the point where, you know, even during the course of a conversation, he would know how it was going, what he was feeling or what the result of the conversation was, and already have learned a lesson about what to do about it next time. If he ended a conversation and felt agitation or felt some sort of that something was wrong, then he would immediately investigate what went wrong, what did he say, what could have been done better, how should he do it next time.
Yes, but can I just ask, is in view of a positive sense about oneself,
yes.
Supposing you feel agitated after a conversation, but we'll just say, you can say, well, it's the situation that I'm in, or maybe it just got unskillful because it was very difficult to be skillful with that other person, let's say. So, like, I tend to try to give myself some credits, whether it's real or not.
I think Seattle gives himself a lot of credit. Yes.
Can I ask him about that?
Because you're right. Tu ha, ho kau ni macam senjara ni. Dan usia ni kena ni apa pida usia ni bawa ni macam ni. Pure itu memang membalu. Tu pure itu. Upa mana? Tekat ni lutian ni sekarang. Kau akan habis jam ni. Dan macam tekat ni, ni ha di luar kelo. Dan macam kau aku kuku ni. Kalau ni nak ni, ho tu cuci hari aku mesti naik naro. Cuci hari aku. Yes, he says, so for example, when speaking with a difficult person and it's not possible to, I mean, you will be left with a residue of unpleasantness and all that, he says, and sometimes it's just to understand the wrong view that the mind has taken. Sometimes you can't have the conversation go nice and pat. It won't always happen the way you want to, and to accept that. And once he has that right view of the world, he just has to accept that this is the way it is. It helps as well. And then also the preparation, learning to prepare ahead the attitude towards a conversation before entering it, so that then however the conversation will goes, then he is prepared for the result as it happens. And then whether it's speaking to someone or carrying out a task, project, to prepare. Many things to learn, many things to prepare.
You stop talking. After all this you have to do, you don't get talk anymore.
Vale, vale. That's a private joke between Peng and Siano.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
So, through this observation you do daily life, you kind of build up your sila, right? That's how you get better sila. Because you observe what you're doing and you go towards your wholesome state. That's this way you practice it.
เออตัวเปล่าอุเซียนเอลโลမျိုးเล่ลาจินอาภิกุกุโกจิจิบรอเปลี่ยนๆน่ะกุตีหน้าปูอาคันวะรุ่นดาเปล่าเปล่าอันนั้นมันตะคู่เปล่ามาตะคู่เปล่ามาไอ้หวานกุตะดิทามิน่ะเอ็งเนี่ยเอาเอ็งเนี่ยตะวันติปุ๊บงาบาติลาโคไล่ล่ะเสบ้านี่ล่ะสะกาบ่ล่ะอาซีวะทํามะคะอะฉิมาเตยะเมญญะตัดล่ะเนี่ยเสียรู้สึก very interesting that you brought up silas. You know that in the five precepts, the Musavada precept can be split into three for harsh speech, slander, and just plain lying, right? And he chose to do that. He expanded. He decided to practice the expanded five precepts. For the Musavada, and he said when he became aware of his speech, so that he practiced right speech all the time, he said his practice really shot up. And his speech also became very little. He started speaking very little. I mean, his relatives thought he got crazy. They even said so, but he didn't care. Because he always thought about. And this is while he's doing business. Yeah, he's in the marketplace doing business, and he would always ask himself, what is he going to say? You know, what is he going to say? So, and he would only speak if it was really meaningful or going to be effective and so on. Really, And in a marketplace, like in Burma, it's like a shopping complex. He says there are so many people, and people go to each other's shops, you know, and they just gossip. Mm-hmm. You know, talk about everything under the sun. And he stopped being like them. You know, he was becoming so more and more mindful and just doing his own thing. Yeah.
This weekend I met somebody who was a property agent, and they said that they had to lie as part of business. and I said, well, they said they felt bad about lying.
Yeah.
And I said, well, in the vineyard, you see, monk cannot set price, can only say, is this your best price or something like this. So I said to her, I felt from my own experience as a monk that by not setting prices with people, that I actually found I got good prices.
Yeah.
And that that I felt that if she could develop the skill of not trying to set the price or hint to people about what the price was or what the other person was willing to pay, which is kind of lying and stuff like this, that she would improve her business. But I don't know what Siado felt since he was in the business world.
Property agent.
ตัวบอกเลยอ่ะดิมาตัวบอกเลยอ่ะพ่อนี่มีเลยอ่ะตัวพ่อนี่มีเลยอ่ะเปล่าเปล่าพ่อนี่มีเลยอ่ะสวยเนี่ยโหบลูพอมเลยพ่อนี่อ่ะเซ้ไม่ตัดใหม่ไม่ตัดใหม่อ่ะกูอ่ะเมไปไม่รู้อ่ะดาเซ้ไปไหนมั้ยอะเค้าซุ้มเซ้บาขึ้นไหนมั้ยกูโหดามาลงไม่เสียอ่ะกูดีไม่เสียอ่ะเมไปไม่รู้อ่ะไม่เสียอ่ะเออดาเมตูตุ่ยเลยแหละไอ้หลอลงชิงอาภิเนี่ยอเมอ่ะกองซุ้มเซ้อ่ะเลยแหละโหอกองซุ้มเซ้ ဈေးကိုမတန့်မှတ်ဖဲနဲ့နဘောကိုလိုချင်တဲ့ဈေးကိုနည်းနည်းနည်းနည်းဟိုဘယ်လိုခေါ်မလဲစိတ်ကိုမထားပဲနဲ့အဲ့ဒီလူပဲသူဘယ်လောက်တတ်နိုင်လဲဆိုတာပြောပါစေတဲ့သူဟာသူပဲသူအဖြစ်အတတ်နိုင်ဆုံးပြောနိုင်ပြောနိုင်ပြောဖို့တတိထားပြီးပြောကြည့်သူဘယ်လိုပြောမှာတော့တတ်လာလဲ။ Yeah, error သူကဦးဇင်းကစီးပွားရေးသမားဆိုတော့တဲ့ဦးဇင်းကဥပါယူဆက်လဲ။အဲ့လိုဈေးဈေးဈေးအမှန်တကယ်ပြောမှာ someone is mindful as they speak, and they don't want to say what's wrong, and they restrain the wrong speech. He says, because of the mindfulness, eventually they will find a way to do it right. And there's no need to lie.
He
says there are many ways to go around it if we allow the mind to find the way.
I said to her, you need to lift your game.
Siano says, when you are sincere and honest, he said business always becomes better. When he was practicing, his business became really good.
Better, that's right. There was an old lady beside her, and she also was property agent. And she said, yes, I was right.
Skillful speech, he says. There are so many means to practice skillful speech, but if there's greed, he says, then you know we will try and take a shortcut. I think all of you have seen this on the internet, you know, about this blind man, and then somebody comes and changes his sign, and then people start coming to put more money in his, and he wonders what the person wrote on his, you know, onto his little sign, and I think the person came back and told him what she'd written, and then the video turns and shows us what's written on the blind man's card and says, today is a beautiful day, I can't see it.
Sympathy though.
Yeah, I think initially it said thank you for the donation. Yeah, something like that, yeah. It's not a lie. If we are calm and patient, we will find many ways to approach the same situation.
So sometimes I sort of feel that Dana Sila is the shortcut. You know, so many people will argue with you about Sila, but then I always think to myself, no, Sila is the shortcut.
He says practicing to have less lobha dosa moha in the mind is also sila. There's charita sila and
moritta sila.
Not just controlling our actions and speech, but also when we purify the mind, action and speech is naturally purified. What makes us break sila is when there's greed and aversion is strong. That's when we break sila.
Okay.
Anything else?